Welcome to the 205th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome and thank you for listening. Whew. We got through it. We completed the best conference we've done so far, the 4th annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. So happy it went well. Glad it's in my rearview mirror. But looking forward to next year and already planning. So next year, mark your calendars, March 28th, 2020. We're going to have another one, and it's going to be even better. But first, as we usually get started, if you're new to the show, I'm an endurance athlete. Next up on the docket is the Mendocino 50K in Mendocino, California, sponsored by the Stanford Inn. If you haven't been there, it's a great vegan place. So that's in a couple of weeks. So kind of amping up the mileage a little bit, doing some strength training, getting ready for the hills, if you can get ready for hills living in flat Florida. So I run some bridges and do some weight training and do some step-ups and hope for the best. So it's all about the experience. So we'll see how that goes. Backyard garden. It's springtime in Florida. We've got guavas. Well, almost guavas. We have a guava tree that's blooming, so that'll be very interesting. Our first time that our guava tree has went from a little tiny thing to it's this big bushy tree of a bush type of thing, and we've got guava blooms going on. We've got about 5 super Haas avocados hanging on, which is the first year for our, actually second year for our little avocado tree. And our mangoes are still hanging on, so we have a variety of different mangoes. So it's going to be a good crop here on in Port Charlotte. We just finished mulberry season, so that was fun. Dragon fruit continues to grow, so maybe we'll get a dragon fruit someday. Papayas are prolific, so we're getting those, and that's great. We have a tower garden that's growing peppers, Thai peppers. Funny story will come about the Thai peppers here in a little bit later, but those are growing along with cilantro and tomatoes, and we have basil and thyme. Collards are going, Swiss chard's coming up. I even planted white potatoes. They're coming up, so it's a good time to garden in Florida at this point. So on to the main event, 4th Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference wrap-up. It was fabulous to see all the people that came in who I've met over the years through the podcast. So it's thank you for making the effort. We had people from Buffalo, New York, and Dallas, Texas, and the East Coast of Florida, and Ohio, and North Carolina. So thank you. Thank you very much for making the trip down here. If I miss where you're from, I'm sorry. But thank you for coming into the conference. I say it every year, but I'm going to say it again. I think this was our best conference ever. It seemed like all the speakers complimented each other, and it flowed really well. A huge shout out to Chefy Bowman. She is a local caterer that stepped up to the plate at, in the 11th hour and agreed to take over the chef and the catering business for the nutrition, and she did a fabulous job. All the recipes were from our upcoming cookbook that's to be released at the end of this month, hopefully. And she did a wonderful job at making us look really good and preparing these recipes. So thank you to Chefy Bowman. We couldn't have done it without her. She really made life much, much less stressful, her and her assistant, Chris. So thank you for that. But we had tofu egg sandwiches and oatmeal bar and a salad bar for breakfast. And we had lentil loaf and roasted vegetables and fiesta bean soup and a big salad buffet and giant fruit tray and black bean brownies, as well as a mango blueberry crumble. And I'm probably leaving out something, but it was a great, great lunch. Mama Says was here, and we launched our sports package with them. And one of the biggest things was the beets. It's got to be the beets. Our heart beats on plants. And so Mama Says brought samples of the beets to give everybody, and it was a huge success there. And then Addie and I did a cooking demonstration showcasing our pasta sauce that's loaded with vegetables, and we did a banana cream pudding, which was also very, very good. And everybody liked that. So it was great when you, you know, our speakers did a wonderful, wonderful job. And I thank them. They were, they signed books, sold a lot of books. And it was just a great, great time. I felt as though this year was a celebration of success, a celebration of people becoming plant-based and getting healthy, a celebration of what it means to become plant-based. And it was all about hope. You know, Eric O'Gray was here telling his story, you know, about walking with Petey and his dramatic weight loss and the hope that it gave him. And, you know, Addie gave a talk, and we'll get into these a little bit later, but it just seemed to flow really good. And I couldn't be happier with how things went. You know, it's always scary when things go really good, then you have to figure out, you know, what to do next year to make it better. But every year we learn something. You know, my co-planner, Linda Albert, big shout out to her and Lou. I couldn't do that without her. She steps up and is, you know, we kind of nicknamed her Twinkle Toes because she just moves everywhere and she is all over the place. Before the conference, doing whatever needs to be done and lining up things. And during the day of the conference, she's all over the place, making sure that everybody's happy and that things run smoothly from the back of the room to the kitchen to the, you know, back of the speakers. So, you know, thank you. I just have a great support staff. And you know, my nurse and my front office girl also work, and they work the front of the check-in line and sold books and made sure everybody was comfortable. So it's just a great team. And, you know, we'll just continue to, you know, get better every year, and we get more comfortable and enjoy it. I have to say that I enjoyed this process more than I enjoyed the last 3 years' process. I was more calm about it. I think there's a little confidence that comes with having done it 3 times. So, you know, this kind of feeling that, you know, it'll all work out. So that was Gretchen in the background. You know, she seems to bark at just about everything, you know, in the wind. There's a squirrel, there's a bird. But one day she was barking, we weren't paying much attention. We looked out and we had 2 bobcats across the street, and they were actually beautiful standing there. So sometimes she barks for a reason. But tonight it's, I think, mainly because the wind's blowing. So pardon me for Gretchen for singing intermittently. If it gets too loud, I'll have to deal with it. But for the most part, she's just an intermittent singer. Getting back to the conference, Addie kicked things off. Addie Meinrich is our my partner and registered dietitian, and also my daughter. And her talk was on turning your plate. And, you know, sometimes people think I can't be plant-based because I need to be on an anti-inflammatory diet. And there was something that passed through Facebook today about Time Magazine, you know, labeling inflammation as being the big thing that causes everything to go wrong. And, you know, there's not one thing that causes everything to go wrong. There's a lot of things that cause people to have disease and things happen. But people will tend to say that they can't do a certain nutrition plan because they have, you know, an inflammatory condition, or they have renal failure, or they have diabetes, or they have heart disease, or they were told to eat, you know, they need to lose weight. So Addie took the plate for plant-based nutrition, and, you know, she talked about all the macronutrients and the micronutrients, and then she turned the plate to address things like inflammatory conditions and renal insufficiency, and if you're an athlete, what you should do to make your plate a little stronger in one way or another. You know, when people have cardiovascular disease, we want them to really get those greens in. You can't get enough nitric oxide producing greens such as cabbage and collards and kale and broccoli and mustard greens, and you know the drill. On the other hand, if somebody has an inflammatory disease, we want to make sure that they're getting those omega-3 fatty acids into their diet, as well as nitric oxide producing greens. And we also want them to get the anti-inflammatories that they could get from fruits and vegetables. if someone's an athlete and they're burning a lot of calories, obviously those two things aren't going to be enough to sustain them because they have to eat a large quantity. So those people, we want to push, you know, more of the beans and the starches to kind of help them amp up their calories, as well as getting the recovery with the greens and the fruits and vegetables. So just by tweaking your plate a little bit, it doesn't matter what particular lifestyle disease or condition or that you're trying to reverse, you can do it. You just have to pay pay attention, and it's not a one size fits all. Some people can handle a few more nuts or half an avocado. Some people can't. You know, so depending on your blood work, your conditions, what your life has been up to until you become plant-based, you know, we have to tweak it. And that's where we're a little bit different. It's not just one book, and one plan fits all. We like to work with people specifically to help them to maximize their nutrition for their particular lifestyle. And, then there's also people that want to lose weight or have trouble losing weight or eating disorders. So, you know, there's a multitude of different ways to twist this plate. And Addie did a great job at really explaining to people how they could maximize their nutrition. And, you know, I had all kinds of great compliments. She's so easy to work with when people talk to her. I guess, you know, if you had to say, you know, she's probably the good cop and I'm the bad cop as far as working with people and making them feel very comfortable about what it is they're doing and what they need to do. I guess I've had some feedback that, you know, I'm kind of the bad cop, or I'm, you know, maybe a little bit more rough being the physician, as a matter of fact, this is what we got to do and let's get down to business and, kind of buck up and let's get going type of personality. So I think she compliments me very well. And, together, I think we can, you know, we help a lot of people. So Eric O'Gray was next up at the conference. And, if you haven't looked at his YouTube video, you should. Walking with Petey has a wonderful book out named Walking with Petey. And he shared his story of how plant-based nutrition changed his life. He had been struggling, was almost, you know, living reclusively in an apartment, embarrassed to go out, almost every public encounter that he had being, I think upwards of 340 pounds was hurtful for him. And, you know, he brought up a lot of good things during his talk. You know, we see people that are overweight excessively and, you know, somehow we think maybe they don't notice. But he brought that very plain to view. He's like, yeah, I noticed. I was very overweight, and I was affected by the hurtful stares and hurtful looks getting on an airplane or going through an aisle of a store or trying to buy clothes. And, you know, he was very open and honest of, you know, just what his life was up until the time that, you know, he became plant-based. And it wasn't like that he didn't try all kinds of other methods to lose weight. And he was successful losing weight, you know, doing things for a while. But as most of you know, it's not sustainable and you fall back into your own old habits and then you just get reinforced by feeling like a failure. And, you know, when he met Petey and they became plant-based, life really turned around for him. And it was over a pretty short period of time that he actually was able to turn his life around and gradually start running. Of course, now he's qualified for the Boston Marathon numerous times. And he met his childhood sweetheart, or actually his date to the prom. And I guess I shouldn't give too much of the story away, but, you know, there's definitely a happy ever after ending to all of this. And he continues to pay it forward by helping other people. I think sometimes you can say, oh, this is great. This guy gets so much attention. You know, he lost a bunch of weight and he's telling his story. But I don't think anybody would want to change places with Eric with what he's been through. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage to share that story. And, I really appreciate him being there and sharing his life story with us and speaking with people. and, you know, being a real ambassador for plant-based nutrition. He spoke about how he started running because he had so much extra energy. And we know that, you know, running really helps to build cardiovascular fitness, and it's really good. But I think that running, and especially marathon running, has even greater meaning for people that are dealing with traumas that they've had in their life. For him, it was a celebration that he's back. He's willing to go out in public, put short shorts on, and run hard, and be proud of his achievements through running. And you know, I think it gives people a sense of fulfillment, and you know, kind of helps say that, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm back out of the shadows, and I'm worthy, and I have a lot of willpower, and I can do these endurance events. And it gives one a sense of personal achievement and accomplishment. So I think that, you know, when I look at people that have lost a bunch of weight and start running, or run because of depression, or run to to perhaps deal with some other trauma that they've had in their life, I think it's such a great activity that, you know, not only, again, builds cardiovascular fitness, but it helps people to, you know, develop this feeling of accomplishment. I don't think, some people say that, well, people run away from one addiction to another addiction. And I really don't see it as that, but more of a way to overcome a past struggle and, build confidence that you've overcome one struggle in the past, and now you can overcome the struggle of doing an endurance event. Many people, when they sign up for a marathon or an Ironman or an ultra race, they're not really sure if they can actually finish the race. You know, when you're training for a marathon, most people don't run 26 miles before the day of the event. So there's this unknown, are you going to be able to finish it? And certainly the longer the event gets in, you know, the more chances there are for having something happen that you potentially can't finish it. And so there's this vulnerability that you're willing to undertake, knowing that you might not succeed, and you fight your way through it. So it's really putting yourself out on the line. So for somebody that's, you know, suffered and lost a bunch of weight, or suffered with being severely overweight and everything that goes with that, he puts himself out in another situation where he becomes very vulnerable as far as this race and how he's going to do. But it's a way that he shows other people that, hey, I can do it, so can you. And, through plant-based nutrition, I've become healthy, I've become energetic. And, you know, at 60 years of age, nothing is impossible. He signed up, he left our conference to run a race the next day. And, it's just life is worth the fight. And there's still so much that you can achieve, by continuing the struggle, so to speak. And you learn so much from these marathons as well. It's, again, I've talked to about it before. It's a lot like life. So, I really congratulate him on all that he's done. And again, I'm so appreciative that, you know, he was willing to be so honest and open and share the struggle that he's been through. I got to share success. I got to share some of the members' success stories and show their accomplishments. I was speaking with a member today, and, you know, in the first years of my traditional cardiology practice, I was a medication adjuster and a doer of procedures to diagnose cardiovascular disease. And I considered myself quite good at doing both of these, titrating a little bit of this medicine and a little bit of that medicine to keep people out of the hospital, and seeing them and helping them with their sodium intake and adjusting their insulin for their diabetes, and doing procedures when needed to see if they had significant coronary artery disease, to refer them for stents or bypass. And now, I'm not doing that. I Haven't done a heart catheterization in over a year. Haven't had to. It's not because my patients and members don't have heart disease. It's because it's not an issue. Nobody's having unstable angina or chest pain that they need a procedure done. The only hospitalizations have been for falls and some of my 90-year-olds. And they're success stories. They're success stories like there have never been. Never in my previous traditional medicine career did I take people off of medicine. Did I say you no longer have diabetes? Did I watch rheumatoid arthritis get better? And so it was a choice. How many different ways, how many different people and different diseases got better just in this short time period since we've been doing the nutrition classes, and certainly even more so since we've had the membership practice. And so I selected several studies to share, and we had some before and after pictures and some before and after photos of some testing. And it was just so rewarding, finally, after all these years and being in medicine, to actually say, hey, I actually helped somebody. And more than one somebody, lots of somebodies. I've helped them help themselves, because obviously people do it themselves. It's just a little guidance, and I'm the one that helps them get off their medications. And, I'm the cheerleader and maybe the policeman, but the medicine untitrator, instead of taking it on, I'm reversing my role and taking off. And so it was such a great honor for me to be able to share people's stories on how that they're doing and share as I've learned. I've learned as we've gone along the way, different tricks of the trade, different things for different people, because everybody's not alike. Everybody's struggles are different. Some people have trouble with family. Some people have trouble traveling and going out, and maintaining the good choices. So everybody has a little bit of a different struggle, and I'm very happy to be a part of the success stories that people have had. I'm also the one that, I want to push people. We're all on a path to be the best person that we can be individually. And we all start somewhere and we're on a path and we all have our own goals. And, I want to push people to do a little bit more, be a little bit better than they already are. And so I try to present information, such as the benefits of exercise. And, we don't need to accept the minimum of things. The people in my practice, people like us do things like this. It's not the minimum requirement that we're after. It's the maximum that we can achieve that we're really after. And I don't think anybody needs to settle. And so I want to share things with people that they can try to make their lives and their health better. And then, Dr. Goldhammer got up and he shared his experience with True North Health. And, one of the things that impresses me about Dr. Goldhammer is that he started his water fasting only clinic, before it was popular, before there was intermittent fasting, before there was any kind of ketosis talk. He, took people and gave them vegetable juice and some fruit juices if they were really sick, and some steamed vegetables, and then transitioned them to a water-only fast for up to 40 days. And he has a tremendous amount of data on how you can accelerate the body's healing by just taking these offending agents away, metabolic excess, caloric excess away from people, and letting their system reboot. He described it's like turning the computer off and turning it on, and when it comes back up, everything's a little bit better. And he shared his information about patients with a patient with lymphoma that went did her water only fast, and he has data now that are 4 years out, and she's doing quite well. One of the things that I learned from him, we talked about high blood pressure, which is, again, there's so many people that have high blood pressure and take one or more medications for it. People think it's normal. As long as you take medications, then you'll be okay. But that couldn't be further from the truth. The fact that you're taking medications means that your life's going to be shortened, and that the quality of life, especially in your older years, is going to be worsened. And it's not necessarily because of the medication, partly because probably, but not necessarily, but because of the disease process. And it's not just one thing. There are multiple things. Some people have more vascular disease than other. Some people have a greater response to sympathetic tone. Some people have kidney disease. Some people have vascular disease, mainly involving their kidneys. Some people have sodium excess. Some people have toxicity from the salt over time. We all know that as we get older, our salt sensitivity increases. But the reality of it is, if our blood pressure is elevated for continuously over the course of a day, over a long period of time, it continues to do damage. Our heart has to work harder to pump blood to our vessels, and we just can't accept that as being normal. And individuals have to have, we have to look at the individual and see if we can figure out where the problem is and where their sensitivity lies and address it directly. There are people that have white coat syndrome that, just the thought of getting their blood pressure taken increases their blood pressure. If they're in a stressful situation, their blood pressure goes up. So how do you treat that? It's impossible to go through this world and not be confronted with stressful situations. And then if you add on a standard American diet with increased salt and increased fat, you can really markedly worsen that in a short period of time. And these people may go on to have vascular disease at an early age. So typically we put them on various medications to try to block them down. And oftentimes we block their heart rate down so they feel poorly and they can't exercise because they can't really get their heart rate up, or inhibit their blood vessels from constricting and they become dizzy, or they have, don't tolerate the heat very well because their arteries can't dilate and constrict like they should. So the medicine's in only to just lower the risk of stroke by a few percentages and maybe the risk of heart disease by a few percentages, but it's certainly not the cure-all. So, I think it's very important that we look at people's blood pressure and see, it maybe people have white coat syndrome and the majority of the day their blood pressure is perfectly fine. So if you sleep 8 hours and your blood pressure is normal, and most of the rest of the day you're fairly calm and collected, and it's only a couple times a day where your blood pressure goes up and down, maybe that's not such a bad thing. But then again, maybe if you eat a high salt diet and you have this increased sympathetic tone, that maybe after meals, especially if it's a salty meal, your blood pressure stays up for a prolonged period of time because now you have increased tone as well as increased volume in your system. So I think that it's something that I'm going to look at much more closely, and we're probably going to do some 24-hour ambulatory blood pressure monitoring to see where people are. And we're starting to address things with breathing techniques, meditation, as well as exercise and, diet, obviously plant-based nutrition to improve vascular tone. So, that's particularly something that I became much more interested in after, his talk and in the conference and sitting around talking about various things. Dr. Goldhammer's perspective on exercise is also a little different. He sees it as a kind of a fasting type of way to rid the body from metabolic excess. You're not taking in food during exercise for the most part, unless you're certainly not taking as much as you're burning, and it's a way to kind of get rid of toxins. So if you think about exercise as being, to get rid of toxins and burn off calories, sort of to let the body heal, also in the presence of, building mitochondria and improving the system, improving the body system to be able to use, glucose and initiating chemical processes that, lets our brain get better and, our strength get better. So, there's no downside to exercise. And it even adds on if it's another way to look at exercise as far as burning off some of this metabolic excess that we have accumulated over time. He talked a little bit about intermittent fasting. There's a lot of excitement about that because the world today is interested in hacks, doing things the easy way. Obviously, going out to True North, I think he said, Dr. McDougall said, True North is like going to jail. You're going someplace and you're going to drink water and you're going to have all kinds of side effects from the fast, backaches and rashes and perhaps diarrhea as you fast and the toxins leave your body and, you know, be away from your family potentially and, you know, obviously not eating, not going where you want to, you have to lay around. And so it's, you know, it's a big commitment to do prolonged water supervised, medically supervised water fast. It should be medically supervised. There's things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things that can go wrong when you start to refeed. So anybody doing more than a couple of days should be medically supervised. And if you're on medications, you know, you should not do a water only fast without medical supervision, and preferably, you know, have someone titrate you off of your medications before you do a water only fast. But there's this thing about intermittent fasting, and what is that? You know, and somebody brought up in the conference, you know, well, is juice fasting intermittent fasting? And, you know, he says, no, juice fasting is just another way of eating. And it's true, you're taking in calories. So if you're taking in calories, it's not fasting. You know, if you're just not eating three meals a day and you're snacking all day long, it's not fasting. Fasting is the absence of food. But one way you can fast is to not eat after dinner until breakfast, and you can extend those hours so you can close the kitchen at 6 o'clock and not open it up till 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And there's probably some benefit from that. And it certainly lets you become more aware of your system. A lot of times after dinner, we just become, you know, it just becomes a road to and from the kitchen to get snacks and more snacks. And we're never really satisfied because we're not really hungry and we don't have any needs. If you can go all night long and not eat, then why do you have to eat an hour after your biggest meal? It's all about habit and desire and fun and, you know, what can you get into, boredom, whatever. So by closing the kitchen and say, okay, we're going to do this intermittent fast from 6 p.m. to, like I said, 10 a.m., 8 a.m., it really helps you to start to appreciate some of your habits you know, that you really don't need this stuff at all. It's just all a matter of, you know, what you want to do and help people lose some weight. And if you limit the time that you're able to eat, then perhaps, you know, you're also going to ultimately limit the number of calories that you take in, and there is some weight loss. If you can be mindful about it, and when you, the calories that you do take in comes from nutrient-dense foods, then that's even better. But of course, you know, we have to find a way to make money on it. And, you know, so there are new pills and potions out there that people can take to help them do fasting and not get hungry. And, you know, there's some research being done on what happens if you would do a 5-day fast, say every quarter, you know, quarterly or, you know, twice a year. And that data is still out. People are still looking into it. The research is out. There are some supplements that people can take that help them with that 5-day fast, you know, somewhat of a life hack. Whether that'll make things any better, I don't know. You know, there's the question whether you can not eat for 5 days and then eat what you want and you're still going to get the benefits of it. You know, that data is not out there at this point. One would hope that if you take the trouble to not eat for 5 days, then you don't go back to cheeseburgers and such. But, you know, one would hope that if you run an Ironman race or a marathon, you wouldn't finish and eat a donut. But I see that quite often as well. So, you know, people are looking for ways that they can have a minimal amount of pain and the maximum amount of comfort. And so I guess people will continue to come up with ways of doing that. You know, there's people trying to do thermoregulation and for people to burn fat differently. You know, we have white fat that's kind of our insulating fat. It's very hormonally active, and we have brown fat that helps white fat be dissolved, and it's more of a thermoregulation. Well, there's, you know, people looking into developing pills to burn that off too, so we can burn more white fat with a pill as opposed to actually have to expose ourselves to cold or other means where we have to be actively involved. So, you know, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a fan of life hacks. I don't think that anybody really gets anything meaningful out of cutting corners and, you know, trying to get something without a significant amount of effort. But we'll wait on the data, and, you know, I guess it would be beneficial for some people that just really aren't interested in doing things the old-fashioned way. So overall, the conference, I thought was a great success. I learned from all the different speakers. I continued to learn as I reflect upon, what they talked about. And, I learned from the people there. And, one thing for sure is that I think that being in a room all day long with speakers talking about various subjects of plant-based nutrition and wellness and movement and exercise and struggles and success, I think it's very motivating for people. I think it's very uplifting. I know some people that came to the conference that weren't plant-based at all. There was somebody there that their cousin or sister had said, you need to get over to this conference and listen. And she was taking notes crazy and becoming very interested because she's never heard that, rheumatoid arthritis or back pain or joint pain could be improved with plant-based nutrition. So she was very excited. So I think being in a room all day long and hearing things and seeing other people and, I spoke with people that sat at a table with other people and they learned of their struggles and successes and got ideas. And so, just being immersed really was beneficial as opposed to, just going someplace for a lecture or hearing something on YouTube. I think there was something to being with other people, just like there's something to being with other people any chance you can get. There's no shortage of being able to learn, from other people and, to, interact with people and build new friendships and learn about their experiences. So if you get a chance to go to a full day conference, I would encourage you to do it. Again, ours is going to be March 28th next year. I hope to see you there. I'll work, very hard over the next year to get this next conference ready. The next big milestone for Addie and I is to get this book out, and it is plant-based nutrition, and we're very proud that, my mom has helped us with a lot of the recipes. A lot of the recipes were hers, and she translated, into plant-based nutrition, and she's doing quite well. So, the three generations, the doctor, the dietitian, and we call my mom the diva, because if you haven't met her yet, she's a spunky lady that, dresses to the nines and has an outgoing, dynamic personality, I aspire to be when I'm 86. So, I look forward to sharing some of her recipes with you in this cookbook. And, so we'll get that out. We're going to, hope you'll, we'll have that on the website and it'll be where books are sold eventually. And we'll keep doing what we're doing. We're going to be at the Sarasota Veg Fest May the 4th. So if you're in that area, please come and say hi. I'm going to be speaking as well as being on a panel. And I'm actually going to have one of my members, family, come up. And we're going to talk. Everybody's going to bring some success stories with them. And, of course, we're getting ready to launch this sports nutrition package with Mama Says. I think it's great. I've eaten, a lot of the meals and we're continuing to have more made and, packages. So we'll have a link to that on our website so that you can check out those beets in particular. And we'll have some promotions as far as to get that out, but it's a great thing to have. When we were getting ready to the conference, I didn't leave the office. I did six consults the day before the conference. So I had, a Mama Says Millie's chili in the freezer and thawed that out and ate that while I was at the office. It was great to have. So it's nice when you're traveling, nice to have when you just really don't want to cook and you want to take a break. They're nutritious and, we're supporting the sugar-free, oil-free, salt-free selections that are there. And, we look forward to working with them. A lot of people advertise that, they do something because it's a whole foods and that's, it's so, this truly is whole foods, real food, real organic food as opposed to pills and potions and powders. Those aren't real food. So minimally processed foods, made with love. So, and with science behind them. So I hope you'll check our website out to look into those. And of course, check our website out. I do a weekly blog that's on there. You can subscribe to. We have some recipes to give away if you want to walk on over to drdulaney.com. It's DocDulaney. You don't have to be in the state of Florida to be a member of our practice. We have two online programs as well as a full membership program that many people are involved in that aren't in town. And let us help you get you off your medications, because that truly is our mission, is to make people the healthiest that they can be. So we have a lot of stuff going on. And if you have any questions, give me an email at jamie@drdulaney.com. It's jami@drdulaney.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And thank you, as always, for listening to the podcast.